Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, man, the Cavs forced a game six last night with a 112-97 victory. And, you know, I was as shocked as many people. I thought, you know, going out there for game six, the Oracle Arena in Oakland, the Cavs wouldn't, you know, stand much of a chance. But you know what? They showed up and played. Well, at least two of them did. And Kyrie Irving and LeBron James combined for 82 points. And, you know, they force a game six back in Cleveland on Thursday night. I know you weren't feeling confident about the game last night. And I'll quote you from a text that you sent me. Golden State by 25, mark it down. What do you got to say about that?
Well, what I have to say about that is I was wrong.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day coming up this weekend. And I also want to, you know, on behalf of all of us at the Big Z Sports team, you know, want to send out our thoughts and prayers to everybody who was affected in that tragedy down in Orlando on Saturday night. You know, just thinking about all, everybody and, you know, just hope everybody has a good Father's Day weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Cavs, I'll tell you what, you know, I honestly, especially after the start of that ball game last night, I thought, man, Golden State's going to blow them out. It's going to be all over. I agree with you 100%. Two guys showed up. If two guys show up on Thursday, they're going to get beat at home. Kevin Love is absolutely terrible. I think it's time to go ahead and get him out of Cleveland. I think it's time to bring somebody else in. And one of the guys at work last night asked me, you know, what would happen if we would have never gotten Love and kept Wiggins? I think it would have been a perfect fit for this series.
Sure.
You know, and it's not like Kevin Love hasn't contributed, you know, throughout the playoffs and throughout the season, but in the finals, he's been terrible.
We had 2 points, three rebounds in 30 minutes last night.
And, terrible.
You know, if LeBron and Kyrie weren't the man child that they were, you know, they would have been blown out of the gym. You know, and it's sad to see that you give up an Andrew Wiggins for a guy that doesn't want to show up in the most important series of the year. I mean, that's kind of disheartening if I'm a Cavs fan. And I don't know if he's 100% healthy by any means because, you know, you're dealing with a concussion, whatever you want to call it from the previous game. But you know what? He hasn't played well the whole finals.
That's my point.
And it's frustrating after such a great run through the East, what Kevin Love did, and all of a sudden he can't do anything in the NBA Finals, the most important series he's ever played in, you know, Kyrie's ever played in.
Yeah, do you want a ring or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, it makes me scratch my head to see that Kyrie and LeBron are out there just busting their hump game in and game out, and you get Kevin Love, who gets 2 points, three rebounds in 30 minutes of action last night.
33 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other Cavs player in double figures was J.R. Smith. He had 10 points. Tristan Thompson, you know, he's not a scorer usually, so 6 points for him. You're kind of like,
but how many rebounds?
He could have contributed a little bit more. Then he had to 15 boards.
Sure.
So I'm okay with that. He played hard. He probably should have had the 10 points on a couple of those putbacks where he got fouled and just missed them. But like you said, LeBron and Kyrie, just tremendous. I mean, LeBron's numbers, 41 points, 16 boards, 7 assists. Kyrie had 41 points, 6 assists. You know, and then the downside is Love, 33 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds. Shumpert, 26 minutes, 4 points. And Jefferson, I mean, he came off the bench and had 8 points in only 14 minutes. But that's kind of my problem. He only had 14 minutes. Guy gives you 8 points off the bench. He's your third leading scorer, and he only gets 14 minutes off the bench. I think it's honestly, if I'm Ty Lue, I say, look, Kevin, you're going to get some time, but until you can show me that you are the Kevin Love that we're capable or that you're capable of playing like.
Well, that's played in the Eastern Conference.
Right. Then you're sitting. Playoffs. You're sitting, and we'll put Jefferson out there because you look at Delly had 3 minutes. I mean, those guys all at garbage time. I mean, it was just abysmal as far as anybody other than Kyrie and LeBron. Kyrie and LeBron did what they needed to do and they weren't going to win that game without him.
Oh, I agree.
But if they show up and score 41 points apiece again, I would be floored. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see that happen again either in Game 6. But
you've got to have some more contributors other than just those two.
I would agree. And back at home, you notice that the team shoots better when they're back home. It seems like they play a little bit better when they're at home. But you know what? I think the big reason LeBron was able to get 40 points last night, well, there was no big guy in the middle guarding him, such as Draymond Green.
Well,
now, Draymond's going to be back game six and wanting to prove something, you know, but I think LeBron's now, he's saying, okay, let's go. Let's keep this momentum. You know, can they force a game seven and go back out to Oakland? You better hope so, because last year what happened? They lost the NBA championship on their home floor in game six. LeBron, you know, is showing that video all the way from Oakland to Cleveland and all day during practice and every day till the game.
Oh, I agree.
Of them celebrating on their floor.
I agree. My problem with it is, though, Draymond Green, I agree with you. He wasn't in the middle, and that would have – I think he would have been ending up, you know, throwing off some of Kyrie's shots more than LeBron's. LeBron was pulling up last night and shooting jumpers, and it was frustrating. He was, what, 5 for 8 from three-point range, I think? That frustrated me. I'm like, dude, you have no Draymond Green. Bogut got hurt in the third quarter and sprained his knee. Take the ball to the hole. Stop settling for jump shots. Be the man-child you are and drive to the rack and get fouled, or throw it down. And he kept pulling up and shooting jumpers, pulling up and shooting jumpers. Well, I got news for you. If LeBron pulls up and shoots jumpers and he's off a little bit in Cleveland, they're going to get hammered. So I don't know. I mean, you don't want to lose game six on your home floor. I give them a very decent shot at winning game six on Thursday. I give them 0.0001% chance of winning on Sunday in game seven at Oracle.
And why is that? I mean they just went out there and won by 15 last night.
You're right. But game seven at Oracle, come on, dude. You know as well as I do, without Draymond Green, without, you know, Curry playing up to his potential, he was a little off again last night. Their bench didn't do a whole lot. Okay, Livingston really didn't do much.
Except posterizing Richard Jefferson.
Well, right, but I mean, if you look at their stat lines, I mean, Klay Thompson was a monster. Okay, he was their big guy last night. 37 points. Curry had 25, but it was a quiet 25. Iguodala had 15 points and 11 boards. Okay. Green will be back in game six, like you talked about. But Livingston, some of those other guys, they just didn't do a whole lot. Bogut got hurt. They didn't have a whole lot of bench scoring either, I guess is my point. And I don't see that continuing when they go back out to Oracle for game seven. You never want to play on your opponent's floor in a game seven because you know what the potential for it happening was. You know, how many games have they lost at home? That was the third game they've lost or fourth game they've lost all year at home. And they've lost four games in, what, a year and a half at home? I don't like my chances going out there in a game seven.
No, I would agree. And if you look at the stats a little more, like you were saying, you know, Iguodala 15-11, Klay Thompson 37, and Curry had a quiet 25. But he had 7 rebounds. He was 8 of 21 shooting. That's not a typical Steph
Curry.
That's
what I mean. Yes, correct. You know, that was 8 of 21 from three-point range.
Yeah, no, that's field goals.
Was it field goals? Okay, because he was about the same from three-point range, to be honest with you.
They didn't shoot very well as a team last night. I believe they only shot about 33% from the field. That's not good for a Golden State team that relies heavily on their jump shots.
Right. Barnes had a – he didn't do a whole lot. He was another one.
He was 2 of 14.
Yeah.
And so he struggled from the field. He had 5 rebounds and only 5 points. But you look at what LeBron did. 16 points, or 16 of 30, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 41 points. Kyrie, 17 of 24. That's the best shooting night Kyrie's had in months.
Well, and LeBron said that may be one of the best individual performances he's ever witnessed playing with somebody on the floor. And I think that was his way of saying, you know what, Kyrie, you know, you need to stay right here in Cleveland. We may have had a little spat or a media spat. Media kind of blew it up out of proportion earlier in the year. You know, you need to stay right here with me.
You know, and it's interesting to see as well, you know, Kevin Love, 1 of 5, 3 rebounds. He had 4 personal fouls and only played 33 minutes.
I know.
So obviously in foul trouble throughout the night.
Smith had foul trouble. Yeah.
3 of 9. He had 5 fouls.
Yeah. Kyrie had 4, I think. Yep.
LeBron only had 1, which very surprising. Nonstop booing of LeBron last night was kind of annoying.
The baby bottles. And
that was annoying. You know,
you know what? I think it motivated him.
It motivated him, absolutely.
That's what I mean. I think it motivated him 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Keep talking trash. You know what I mean? I hope the Warriors fans do the same thing. I hope they do the same thing in Game 7. Because, I really honestly do. You know, I'll go back and eat a little bit of crow. Because I said, well, I'll eat a little crow through 5 games. Because I said, you know, I don't think anybody beats them in 7 games. I don't think anybody beats Cleveland in 7 games. If they're healthy and they show up the way they're capable. Well, the problem is they've showed up twice. They haven't showed up to all 5 games.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Especially in the second half of all 5 games. And, you know, I still think they've got a shot. I think it's a better shot now that they've won, but I just don't give them much of a chance in Game 7, unfortunately.
Okay. I'll ask you this. Hypothetically, they show up in Game 6 kind of like they did in Game 3, and they blow Golden State out by 30. To go to Game 7. What's your take
mood.
Then?
Huh? I'd say I would be in a good mood.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that is possible? Then would you give them a more than a 0.0001% chance?
Yeah. Yeah, because you come out 2 games in a row and play well. You know, if Kevin Love can show me something, Shumpert can show me something, J.R. Smith can show me something, you know, Jefferson, you've got to get your bench involved a little bit, man.
Sure.
You can't rely on 82 points from 2 guys every night.
You can go 82 points with 3 guys if it's you know, 30, 20, and 30, you know.
Right, I mean.
But you can't go 40 and 40.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Right, and you can't sustain that. You can't ask them to sustain that. You know, I still wouldn't be surprised to see LeBron throw up 50 at home. You know what I mean?
If that's what it takes to get to Game
7. But if you can get 30 out of Kyrie and a 25 out of Love or something, you're going to win Game 6.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, I don't know. Yes, to answer your question, yes. I would give them more than a 0.0001% chance of winning Game 7 if they come out and they play well. If it's one of them tight games where they squeak one out, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just think it's going to be tough for them to win Game 7.
All right, I'll ask you at 12:35 when we're recording this on June 14th at 12:35 in the afternoon. This is a recording, so Chris Kale was recorded before the game started on Thursday. I want your finals prediction on what's going to happen from here on out, and then we will hold you to this. Go.
Okay. I say the Cavs win 118-99 Game 6. I think they win handily. I think they lead big in the second half and, you know, maybe squander away a little bit in the fourth quarter. But I think they win big in Game 6. I think they go to Oracle and they get trounced by 25 in the title deciding Game 7 on Sunday night at 8:00. I'll say they lose by 26. I'll do the over-under. I'll do the over 25. I say they lose by 26 on the road at Oracle.
Okay, here's my thoughts. And that was Chris Kale at 12:35 on Tuesday, June 14th. So whoever's listening to this would like to yell at him, you can. Me, Joe Gekler, is saying that the Cavs will win Game 6. Maybe not as handily as Chris thinks Game 6, but I think Cavs win by anywhere from 8 to 12. Okay?
Yeah, we haven't had a close game.
Yeah. So 8 to 12 points, the Cavs will win at home, force a Game 7. I think Game 7, everything's on the line. If they go to Game 7, I think that puts the pressure square on Golden State. And here's why. They just won 73 games in a regular season. They don't want to squander that, oh, we're the greatest team ever in a season, and lose in the finals. So that's going to put pressure on them, and plus all the traveling back and forth. It's going to take a toll on both teams, you know, whatever. But I'm going to say the Game 7 will go into overtime, and the Cavs will win by 3.
Wow.
I don't know the score, but I think they're going to win by 3.
I thought you were going to say Steph Curry hits a three-pointer at the buzzer, a half-court three-pointer at the buzzer with the Cavs up 2.
That wouldn't surprise me if it did.
And that would mean they lost by 1.
Yeah. But I think goes into overtime, and I think the Cavs pull it out in overtime in Game 7.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's my prediction.
I would be happy with that. I would rather go with yours.
Okay.
I would be happy with that. I just, you know, I got yelled at yesterday for being a Pittsburgher. I'm Pittsburghing everything. You're Pittsburghing this score. And I got yelled at by being a hater from the guys up at work. They're like, you know what? You got to believe. I was the one that was sitting there crying when, you know, the fumble happened and the drive happened. I'm the one that cried on my way home, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you don't understand. You got to believe. And I'm like, well, it is what it is. But I hope nothing for the best. I don't know if I believe or not, but it's Hopeland for me, not Cleveland.
There you go. But, I mean, you know, I didn't grow up in the heart of all the disappointment over the last 30 or 40 years.
I did. I watched it all.
You know, I grew up in Cincinnati, so, you know, I had to deal with the Reds in the 80s, which when they were awful, the Bengals in the 90s when they were the worst team ever created in football.
And Sam Weiss getting on the saying,
you don't live in Cleveland? Yep. You live in Cincinnati? I was at that game, believe it or not.
Awesome.
That was my seventh grade year in junior high, so I was at that game. But yeah, I don't live their misery. So, you know, if the Cavs don't win, just don't win. That's how I feel about it.
Right.
I want them to win. I root for them. But it's not going to rip my heart out.
I think if you go ask Eric or Jared, you probably get a different answer than what me and you just gave.
Absolutely. And I would agree with that because I want them to win. I want LeBron to get that title for Cleveland. And I think, that, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league. Maybe not the best team, but we're going to see what happens the next two games.
Bottom line, the city deserves it. The fans of Cleveland, whether you're a Cavs fan, a Browns fan, an Indians fan, you know, congratulations to the Lake Erie Monsters. They win a title for the city, but it's time for the Cavs, the Indians, or the Browns to step up and win this city a title. And I would love nothing more than to see that happen for Cleveland fans, honestly.
Oh, I would agree, you know, and I want to see something like that happen for Cleveland as well, especially the Cavs, more importantly the Cavs, because I'm a huge Reds fan. You know, you're a Pirates fan, and we get it. I mean, I root for the Indians.
Yeah. Absolutely. We both do.
I root for the Indians, right. But not when they're playing the Reds.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's kind of difficult for me to say, you know, I'd love to see the Browns win or I'd love to see the Indians win. I'd rather see the Cavs win because I have no affiliation from Cincinnati. You know, I have no you know, no rooting interest, so to speak. So,
well, and we got the draft coming up in a couple weeks here, so it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting the way things go. Hopefully, when we're podcasting next week, we're talking about a Cleveland Cavaliers ring and ticker tape parade because I'm sure that everybody in the city will have the day off, and I'm sure it will be nothing but a huge party. And it would be pretty cool to be there if we're off. Maybe we should go.
Absolutely. If we're off, we will go.
Nice.
But you're not wearing any Pittsburgh stuff. You'll end up getting a shot.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that.
Chris, with a quick reminder, our listeners can follow us on Twitter at @big_zsports and like our Facebook page, WTUZ Big Z Sports. You know, it's getting that time. High school sports are now finished. We're going to talk about a little bit about the softball and baseball side of it and get into a little racing stuff, which I know is near and dear to your heart.
Absolutely. You know, the Strasburg Lady Tigers, they kind of took one on the chin in the D4 state title game. They lost a close one to Crestview 3-2. They almost came back and won that game at the end, but nonetheless, a runner-up in Division 4 softball tournament. You know, that's nothing to shake your head about, nothing to be discouraged about. Congratulations. Great job to the Lady Tigers from Strasburg.
Talk about a team to get hot at the right time. They didn't have a Strasburg-type year.
Right.
You know, they lose the IVC championship. You know, they lose to Garraway twice. They lose a couple other games they probably shouldn't have lost. But you know what? They got hot when they needed to. And they got all the way to state championship game. Probably should have won the game. But you know what? They fell short. And that gives them a little bit of motivation for 2017.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of girls coming back. They're young. So, you know, they've got their stud pitcher coming back. They've got a younger pitcher that, you know, seen some time throughout the season. She's going to be back. You know, I'm telling you what, I agree with you 100%. It wasn't a normal start. I think they finished, third in the IVC behind Garraway and Sandy Valley.
Correct.
You know, that's just kind of unheard of from Strasburg softball. But it's not that they're down on talent. I think they're just down. They're just young. And it took a little while for some of these girls to start developing and really coming into their own. And, man, they hit their stride, like you said, at the right time. Look out next year. I wouldn't want to play them because they are going to be Pretty tough.
Again, there's a lot of talent coming back softball-wise. A lot of Strasburg talent. Garaway only lost three seniors off of that team. And I know Sandy Valley has a lot of talent as well.
Yep. Malvern, I think, has some quite a few back. New Philadelphia was young. Dover lost, you know, a couple pretty big studs.
They have some. They have some Kale girl coming back.
Yeah,
though.
But she.
I don't know if she's going to be any good or not. If she takes after her dad, I don't know.
Yeah, if she takes after her dad, she'll stink. But we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front. And then moving to the baseball side, Division Three, the Highland Hawks win the state title as they beat Wayndale 7-1. Apple Creek Wayndale just down the road from Highland, not too far from us, near and dear to one of our Stringer's hearts. But, you know, pretty awesome that two close rivals would play like that in the state title game, and Highland comes out on top. Mullet was just a monster all tournament long.
He was.
And, you know, Highland could score it. They could keep, you know, you off the base pass with great defense, great pitching, and another state championship. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, hats off to Tom Gibson and the Hawks out there. Another state championship, like you said. They fell short last year with just as good as a team last year as they had this year. I think last year's team, believe it or not, was probably just a little bit better. And this team, they had Eric Mullet and so many other just great, great baseball players. And to get a state championship for Tom Gibson in that program is something big. Obviously, the basketball team, they had a kind of a rough year, you know, whatever. But you know what? Highland is known for baseball and basketball. So,
hey, I got to ask you a question, though.
Sure.
Did the Highland Hawk fans have mullet wigs?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to find
that out.
Just
curious. You know what I mean?
I mean, mullet being a common name out there, I don't know if they would or not. But
right,
if it was somebody around here.
Dover, Philly, we would have had mullet wigs all day long.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and Eric didn't pitch the championship game, though. And he pitched the last, I believe, two innings or three innings.
Right.
But he went seven innings for the state semifinal game the day before and came back and pitched a couple innings late in the game. But yeah, I mean, Highland, you know, had a great season, you know, and hats off to them. And, you know, it's neat to see, you know, Braden's affiliated with Highland going to Walnut Creek. And it's neat to see the homeschool, whatever you want to call it, the big boys in the district win the state championship. And hats off to them. And we look forward to talking about them again next fall.
Yeah, and congratulations to all the spring sports teams and individuals that, you know, went and you know, made the state track meets or the regionals, districts, whatever, you know, you may have placed in. And also the baseball, softball teams, tennis teams, you know, just congratulations to everybody. And again, I know we've said it before, but good luck to all the graduating seniors. Good luck if you're going to play on, you know, at a school in your prospective sport at the next level, or you're just going on to go into the workforce. But good luck to whatever it is you're going to do.
You know, a high school near and dear to my heart a little bit, living down in Southwest Ohio all my life, the Hamilton Baden Rams fell short in Division II in the state championship game. And, you know, hats off to them. They were they were 22-10 coming into the tournament, and they make a run all the way to the state championship game. But the Baden Rams, congrats to them on a great season. Division II, followed them a lot. Football, basketball, baseball down there doing radio. And Baden is kind of like the TCC of Hamilton. That's you got Hamilton High School. Mm-hmm. You got Baden, which is the Catholic school. You compare it to TCC up here with Philly and Dover. So
nice.
And it's a good school, bigger school. I mean, they're Division II baseball, so they're a bigger school. But, you know, hats off to them, and a great baseball program. They've always had one. And, you know, they state runner-up again.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I like about, you know, with you and Eric both being from outside the area, so to speak. You know, Eric not too far away. But, you know, we get to cover some different teams and look at some different teams that you may have followed or that Eric may have followed. And that's always kind of cool to see, and gives our viewers and listeners an extra perspective as well.
Sure. And I love being able to talk about that. I hope I don't annoy the listeners by that. But I think it adds a good perspective of,
I agree,
you know, of bringing an aspect from a bigger area in the state of Ohio up to an area like this with, you know, you talk about teams you're familiar with, and Baden's one of those teams. And, you know, hats off to them, and hats off to everybody that competed this year. And we can't wait till fall for a little bit of football
action. High school sports start all over again.
Oh, yeah.
And then another team that's near and dear to my heart and close to us here, the Pittsburgh Penguins on the NHL side. Ugh. They wrapped up the Stanley Cup title with a 3-1 win Sunday night over San Jose Sharks. They win the series 4-2 for their fourth Stanley Cup. They won back-to-back in 91-92. They won in 2009 and then in 2016. I think they said only, I think it was 4 or 6 players from this team have ever won a Stanley Cup. And obviously Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Marc-Andre Fleury were 3 of those. So a lot of guys on this team that you know, just haven't won that, haven't been able to hoist the cup and kiss it and give it a little skate around. So pretty cool deal after the Penguins, you know, turn around. They were terrible to start the season. Back in December, they fired their coach. They hire Mike Sullivan, and they've been unstoppable ever since. They just went on a tear. They were out of the playoffs in December, way out of playoff position. Sidney Crosby was terrible. And they come back and win the title. Sid was named the Conn Smythe winner, which is the playoff MVP. He had 2 assists in Game 6. He had 6 goals, 13 assists, and only 4 penalty minutes in the playoffs. You know, to go with his 2 Olympic gold medals, his 2 Hart trophies, which are the season MVPs, 2 Stanley Cups now, and then adds the Conn Smythe, best hockey player in the world, plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's just the way it is. And he's got quite a few years to go, still pretty young. That team's pretty young. They're probably going to go ahead and get rid of Fleury now since he didn't play at all in one game in the playoffs. You know, that big contract after he got hurt, they're probably going to let him go and keep Matt Murray, who was in goal, you know, the whole playoffs and was dominant. And you know, he doesn't have much of a contract. He's a rookie. Why not keep that guy and you know, open up some cap room for some other areas?
You know, I do have a little bit of a you know, a tie to this to that game, to that team. One of the goalies for Pittsburgh, Jeff Sackhoff, was a Miami University guy.
Yeah, Sackhoff's a good.
I did a lot of Miami stuff down in when I lived in Cincinnati, and Jeff actually played there when I was doing Miami stuff, and you know, so good for him. I'm glad to see him get a trophy. And
yeah, and it's, you know, I'm sure that the Stanley Cup will be paying a visit down there, hopefully, if he's still from down there. So that's, you know, that's one cool thing about what the you know, the NHL does, is they let each person for that team, you know, everybody's name goes on the cup.
Sure.
And then they allow that person to spend one day, 24 hours with the cup, doing whatever they want to do.
Just 24 hours?
24 hours to do whatever you want to do. You want to sleep with it. You want to take it to Kings Island. You want to, you know, do whatever you want with it. Drink beer out of it. Whatever you want to do, you're allowed to do. And I think that's awesome. You know, guys go to their kids' school and bring the cup in. And, you know, I've seen them strap it into the front seat of their car and drive it around. I mean, who wouldn't want to spend the day with a cup? I think that's awesome. So the Pittsburgh Penguins are already, I believe, 3-1 odds to win, or 8-1 odds, I'm sorry, to win the Stanley Cup next year. They're just not losing much. They're keeping pretty much about everybody. You know, could be a long year for Blue Jackets fans being in our conference now.
I know so. 2 hockey players, and Jeff Zatkoff's one of them, and Sidney Crosby's the other one. I couldn't tell you another one. Honestly,
Wayne, you know, Wayne Gretzky.
Well, current players. I'm talking about current players. And, you know, there was a former player, a great, to pass away over the weekend as well. Gordie Howe passed away, notoriety with the Detroit Red Wings, and a great player in his own right.
Mr. Hockey.
Sure. And, you know, that was Susan's favorite, you know, team growing up was the Red Wings, and she actually met Gordie Howe when she was younger. Her and her brother, he rode down an elevator with them after her brother had a hockey tournament, and she actually got to talk to him and stuff,
awesome.
And which is a really cool story. So
yeah, him and Muhammad Ali passing away. You know, last week, just a sad week for sports. You know, Muhammad Ali, possibly one of the greatest athletes to ever live. I mean, you know, he was sure. He was sure one of the most arrogant ones.
He was a ball of fire, man.
But you know what? He backed up everything he talked. And, you know, I think one of the quotes I seen was, you know, I'm the best fighter. nobody can beat me, and I'm also the best looking. You know, and he wasn't afraid to tell you what he was thinking. So, yeah, our hearts are and thoughts and prayers go out to the Gordie Howe family and also the Muhammad Ali family.
Well, Chris, good to see you again, man. I know we took a week off last week, but good to see you this week.
And beach party tomorrow. We're serving food.
We are serving food. So come out and join us at Atwood Lake for our WTUZ beach party and have fun. We'll see everyone out there. So, Chris, good seeing you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
With that, this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler, saying thanks for listening to the Big Z Sports Podcast.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.